What's up, everyone, and welcome to Metalcore Nerds, the podcast that combines heavy music and pop culture. Each week, I have guests from the podcasting or music community, and we talk about the latest and greatest entertainment. I'm your host, Sean Mott, and today, very big episode. So the main topic is talking about Thor: Love and Thunder, Ms. Marvel, and thoughts about MCU Phase 4 so far. I have two very special guests with that. It is AJ from the band We're Wolves, and it is Anthony Ranieri from Bayside. Join me for that. This first section of the show is just me solo. San Diego Comic-Con has just happened this weekend, so there's a ton of news to cover. So I'm going to cover that, a complete recap of the major news that came out of San Diego Comic-Con, including that insane Marvel panel. So if you're confused, a little lost, they dropped a lot at once. I'm going to go through all of it piece by piece to break it all down for you. If you're new to Metalcore Nerds, welcome. Thank you so much for checking the show out. If you can, go on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Metalcore Nerds. Make sure you give us a follow. Check out the Metalcore Nerds Facebook group. Awesome community there where we talk all about this news all the time, every single day. And stop what you're doing right now. If you're listening to this, screenshot it, post it on your social media. Say you're listening to Metalcore Nerds. Tell your friends about it. And make sure you go to your favorite podcasting platform, whether it be Spotify, Apple Music, or whatever. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. And if you like what you're hearing, hit a rate and review. Give us 5 stars. It helps the podcast continue to grow. So this is how Metalcore Nerds breaks down. Each week, we talk about the latest news in pop culture. Then we go into now watching section where we talk about what we've watched in the last week. And then we go into our main topic. But first things first, we always start off the show with the Metalcore Nerds Song of the Week. And this week, it's a band from Europe that I just discovered this past week. The band is called Graphic Nature, and this song is called Into the Dark. Again, that was Graphic Nature with Into the Dark. Make sure you check out this band. That end of that song is completely batshit crazy, and it hooked me from the second I heard it. If you want to check out the latest songs that I've been listening to, make sure you check out the Metalcore Nerds Pull List Spotify playlist. Just search that, check it out. And now let's get into the news. San Diego Comic-Con happened. A lot happening. I'm going to start this off with the Marvel Animation Panel. So we're getting, they dropped a trailer for I Am Groot, which is more like a CGI animated show that's going to be a bunch of shorts. It's debuting August 11th. I'm guessing they're going to drop them all at once, kind of like they did with the Baymax shorts. And then we get What If Season 2 coming early 2023 with a Season 3 already in the works. And What If Season 2 is going to include a Hela story, Odin versus the Mandarin, which I am hyped as fuck for, Captain Carter meeting the Winter Soldier, which plays off the end credit scene of What If Season 1, and Tony on Sakaar with Valkyrie and Hulk, which completes the story of what we saw partially when we saw Gamora join the Guardians of the Multiverse. So that's exciting. I liked What If, did not love it. I think the anthology thing kind of held it back for me personally, or I thought maybe they could go a little farther with the multiverse and the What If whole idea. So maybe season two and season three kind of up the ante. Speaking of What If, things that spawned off What If, one of my favorite episodes of the season was the Marvel Zombies. And as soon as they announced that we're going to get a full series of that, I was so stoked. But they announced that it is debuting in 2024 and will be TVMA, which makes me even more stoked for the series. Remember, it will be animation, but TVMA and animation, if you've watched any of the DC animated movies, they get pretty fucking hardcore. So I am stoked about this. And I'm stoked that the MCU is toying around with more content that is pushing the limits. Like if you saw Multiverse of Madness, they pushed that PG-13 rating to the limit, and I'm about that. I'm glad they keep pushing the boundaries of what they can do genre wise and with rating and everything like that. I'm very, very happy they're doing that. But this series will include zombie versions of Ghost, Abomination, Captain Marvel, Scarlet Witch returning, Hawkeye, Okoye, and Captain America. New heroes will include Jimmy Woo, Kate Bishop, Yelena, Shang-Chi, and Miss Marvel. So like I said, that was one of my favorite episodes of What If, so I am very, very stoked for that. In 2023, another animation series we're getting is X-Men 97, where Magneto is going to be the leader of the X-Men, and it will have Sunspot, Cable, Bishop, and Nightcrawler among the new additions. And this series will debut fall 2023 with a season 2 already in the works for that as well. So Marvel Studios Animation really up in the ante. Last thing from that panel, Spider-Man Freshman Year, which will also debut in 2024, with the second season titled Sophomore Year already in the works there. This is considered MCU canon and will take place pre-Civil War, but it does include characters like Scorpion, Doc Ock, Harry and Norman Osborn, Nico from the Runaways, and more that suggest it might be in an alternate universe. Time will tell on that because MCU canon means a lot. What If is the MCU canon, and obviously that does not take place in the 616 universe, so this could be an alternate universe, or it could be, maybe they explain it by the end how none of this was brought up, I guess. It's just hard because they act so funny to Doc Ock in No Way Home, and Norman Osborn said there's no Oscorp in this universe, and even Doctor Strange is supposed to be in this animated series, and it seems very clear that they meet in Avengers Infinity War, so interested to see how they explain that. We'll see how it goes with that. On to some Walking Dead news. I know I'm probably an island and one of the only people within the nerd bubble that still watch The Walking Dead. I am behind on the last part of the final season. I have not watched that yet. I watched the first part, I believe. But the final season premieres this October. They shared a trailer. I didn't watch it just in case I didn't want to get spoiled because deaths happen very frequently in The Walking Dead. So I did not watch that. But another piece of exciting news is that we're getting a six-part miniseries in 2023 with Rick and Michonne finally culminating their stories of The Walking Dead. This was supposed to be a movie originally, but I'm kind of glad it's a six-part miniseries because The Walking Dead episodes are an hour long, so we're definitely going to get 6 hours of the story. So I'm stoked for that. I got to find a way to get AMC to watch the rest of this, but I really like The Walking Dead. I binged season 5 to current or something like that in the pandemic, and man, it really picks up when the Negan stuff starts, when the Whisper stuff starts. I know a lot of people kind of left off, which in seasons like 3, 4, and 5, I think it's like 4 and 5 where it gets kind of not that great. It just gets too human heavy, but then they do the human stuff way better in later seasons. So it's worth it to get past it, but I can understand if you don't want to get back into it. It's a lot of seasons and there is so much stuff out now to watch. So like I said, can't blame you for not getting back into it. We got a new The Sandman trailer based on Neil Gaiman's legendary graphic novel. It's coming to Netflix August 5th, and I think this series looks awesome. I'm super, super stoked for this series. The fact that Neil Gaiman is involved in this gives me confidence in it, that he is so involved with the creative process of this live action adaptation. So I'm stoked for this. Now we got the DC panel, which after the Marvel panel, you can almost forget about it. No offense to DC, but really all they brought were two trailers for the movies that were coming out this year, which I respect for focusing on the short term, but Batgirl is wrapped. Blue Beetle is wrapped. We still have Aquaman 2 coming out early next year. I know stuff with The Flash, they probably want to be careful with and kind of wait till the last minute to start promoting, because that's all tricky with the Ezra Miller situation. But the fact that we didn't get any new Batgirl, no Blue Beetle stuff is really weird to me. Even Aquaman 2 is crazy. Like, I know there's the Amber Heard stuff, but you can easily cut a trailer without Amber Heard in it. I've heard that her role isn't that crazy in this movie anyway. But we did get a new Black Adam trailer, which the tone of this trailer was way more of what I was looking for, which, again, I know the tone of the movie is still going to have comedy in it, like that first trailer and stuff like that. But as they lean more into the serious side, I will be a much bigger fan of this movie. That is what I was looking for, a more serious, darker tone. So we'll see how it goes with that. That comes out October 21st. And then we got our first trailer, Shazam Fury of the Gods, which looks fucking wonderful. Everything that's awesome from the first one, and they're cranking it up to 11. It looks way bigger. The action looks awesome. It looks great. It looks so much fun. And it's, you know, if you don't know Shazam, it's a kid who gets endowed with the power of a god, and he's a teenager. So it's a teenager who can turn into basically Superman with electric powers. He's dealing with growing up and becoming an adult. And I'm a sucker for coming of age stories. If you listen to this podcast, I talk about that all the time. So I'm stoked to see what this sequel is. It comes December 21st, which I know is right around the time the new Avatar is coming out. So that's a little rough placement, but I think it might be two different audiences. And I really hope this movie does super well, because I love Zachary Levi in the role. The Shazam-ly is awesome. So I'm stoked for more Shazam. That's for sure. Now we're on to the Marvel panel. And before we break this all down, holy fuck, did they bring it. Deadline reported, this is another thing on the DC panel. Deadline reported that Henry Cavill would show up for the Warner Brothers panel, and he did not, which is not Warner Brothers' fault. It's more of Deadline's fault. But then Deadline said that Marvel also isn't going to make any major announcements, which, Deadline, you took some big L's this weekend, if we're being honest. Or maybe you were just trying to stir up shit. I have no idea, but usually Deadline's a very legit source. So seeing those two big stories not play out the way they said, it is very surprising to me personally. They started off with a new She-Hulk trailer, which comes in a few weeks. August 17th is when the series starts. And I think the CGI looks a lot better. I did not really care about the CGI in the first one. I thought it looked fine, but I've seen a lot of people kind of backing up what they were saying before, like, oh, this actually looks really good. We got a tease of Daredevil in his new suit, the yellow and black suit. We didn't get a full reveal, but we saw a couple shots of it. That's super exciting. Wong is in the trailer, which is very, very awesome. And it's really just She-Hulk seemingly better than the Hulk at being the Hulk, which is interesting. I'm very curious to see how that plays out. But she ends up totally fronting this superhero law division. And I think that's going to lead to some very interesting possible cameos, possible connections to the overall MCU that we didn't expect. We just saw in Ms. Marvel, which we talk about in the main topic of how they connected to the overall MCU universe more than we ever thought that show in particular would. So I think She-Hulk's going to be a major surprise for some people. So I'm stoked for that. August 17th. We got another trailer, but I'm going to end the news with that said trailer. But Kevin Feige has labeled phases 4 through 6 the Multiverse Saga. It's officially confirmed, the Multiverse Saga, which makes complete and utter sense. And phase 4 will conclude with Black Panther Wakanda Forever. That will be the end of phase 4. And then he just came out and lays out the phase slate. February 17th, 2023, Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, which will give our first full look at Kang. And they did show footage at Comic-Con. They have not released it to the general public as of yet, but the way it's been described, you can read full descriptions of it on the internet if you would like. I will not reveal everything, but it seems like Kang is the real deal, and I can't be more stoked for that. If you guys know, the Kang train has left the fucking station, and I will be hyping the Kang train seemingly until 2025, it seems. In spring 2023, we get Secret Invasion, which is going to be they really described it as a darker tone than most of the series that we've seen, which I'm very stoked about. Seems like it's going to be a spy thriller playing on paranoia,
So I'm stoked for Secret Invasion. I guess they showed a little bit of that. Again, not released to the public as of yet. They got a lot to promote, so it makes sense. May 5th, 2023, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, the end of this Guardian story. And we're going to get a look at Rocket's origin. The High Evolutionary has been confirmed to be in this movie. I think this movie is going to emotionally destroy me. I love the Guardians are some of my favorite parts of the MCU. And James Gunn has been hitting home run after home run, especially in the comic book movie world. Of course, we've seen the Suicide Squad and Peacemaker, and those are wonderful, amazing properties. So I'm very stoked to see him, how he ends this story, this trilogy. Could end up being one of the, I mean, MCU has a lot of great trilogies, but I think this one's going to be very high in my list after it concludes. Summer 2023, we get Echo, which again, we talked about, I think a week ago, that Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio are returning for this. So getting a lot of Daredevil lately. More to come on that, actually, in a few. Summer 2023, Loki Season 2. Which I'm guessing we'll probably get more Kang in that as well, which Loki is still my favorite Disney Plus series and one of my favorite projects in the MCU overall. So very stoked for a season two. Can't wait to see what they do with it. July 28th, 2023, The Marvels. After Ms. Marvel, I could not be more stoked about this. That's it. I'm very stoked to see Ms. Marvel return. Very stoked to see Monica Rambeau return. I really hope they add more depth to Carol Danvers in this movie. So we'll see how it goes. November 3rd, 2023, Blade is confirmed to release in 2023. Stoked about that. After what they did in Multiverse of Madness, even if this is rated PG-13, I'm totally fine with it because they pushed the limits with that. Can't wait to see what they do with this. Fall 2023, Ironheart, who we are seeing debut in Black Panther Wakanda Forever. So her own series, like I said, some of these ones I haven't been the most, I've been stoked about, but not super into, like Ms. Marvel or something like that, have really surprised me. So this one could surprise me as well. Winter 2023 into 2024, Agatha Coven of Chaos, now titled. It was called House of Harkness. It is now changed to Coven of Chaos, which leads me to believe that Wanda will return in this series, especially with the word chaos involved. It has to happen, right? So I think this could be a sleeper too. More witch stuff, possibly Wanda coming back. I'm for it. Spring 2024, this is a big one. Daredevil Born Again. Going to be 18 episodes. Charlie Cox returning. Can't fucking wait. So stoked. Even if they're half-hour episodes. That's 9 hours. It's a lot of Daredevil. Can't wait to see what they do with that. May 3rd, 2024. Captain America New World Order. The fourth Captain America movie with Sam Wilson as Cap. Glad we got a title. I'm sure we'll get more information about this at D23. And then July 26, 2024, ending Phase 5, Thunderbolts. I've been talking about this for two years now. Amped. Stoked as fuck. And they said it will introduce new characters into the MCU that we've never seen before. I know a lot of people have been guessing who could be in the lineup. Well, it seems like we're going to get some new people too. So, and I think She-Hulk is going to be an integral factor into another story of the Thunderbolts happening. So we'll see how that goes, but Thunderbolts, super stoked. And then Feige comes out and goes, oh, we're going to announce some Phase 6 projects, which I could not believe. Honestly, I cannot believe they announced this. Fantastic Four. Jumping off, first movie in Phase 6, coming out November 8th, 2024. Now, I fully expect we get a cast and director at D23 in September. I can almost guarantee it. And then, in 2025, May 2nd, Avengers the Kang Dynasty. And then in November 7th, 2025, Avengers Secret Wars. I just posted this in the Facebook group. There was an episode I recorded in 2020 before Phase 4 started in October of 2020. And I predicted Secret Wars, Thunderbolts, Young Avengers, which another trademark has been filed for a bunch of stuff. One including Avengers Academy, which could be a Young Avengers series or movie that is yet to be seen. Again, D23 is probably going to announce a lot more MCU projects. But Secret Wars... If you know me, yeah, my excitement cannot be explained about this. I couldn't believe it when they announced this. So I can't wait to see Secret Wars. Seems like Kang's going to be at the center of all of this. He's going to demolish the Avengers in the Kang Dynasty, and it's going to be them trying to piece together the multiverse, probably colliding into one universe maybe. Or maybe some of it being like a kind of reconciliation of the multiverse saga will end with Secret Wars. So I can't wait. I did not think it would come in 2025. I thought it would be way longer down the road. But again, we are getting way more projects than we are used to in the first three phases. There's so many more projects coming at us at a faster pace, which makes sense. They have so much more to build out. They have the street level with like Thunderbolts, Hawkeye, Spider-Man, Daredevil, things like that. And then we have the cosmic stuff with the Celestials, the Eternals, Guardians of the Galaxy, Thor. And then we have all the multiverse stuff, which is almost seemingly separate with like Loki and then stuff we saw in Doctor Strange and Multiverse of Madness, Incursions. There's so much they're building out at once. And I personally am a big fan of that. You guys wanted your direction to what this would be? We fucking got it. It's here. So you can be on board or you can be not. That's totally fine. It's up to you. There is a lot of content they're releasing, but it's all pretty different from each other. So I am digging the variety. Again, you don't have to be on board. That's totally fine. But a lot of people are seemingly so hyped on this, including myself. I am so fucking stoked. So MCU isn't going anywhere, guys. They concluded the panel with a Black Panther Wakanda Forever trailer, which probably is one of the most powerful trailers I've ever watched. It is insanely emotional. It pays full tribute to Chadwick Boseman, the unfortunate loss of Chadwick Boseman. And I think this movie is going to be a really beautiful dedication to him and the Black Panther legacy while moving everything forward. I do think we might get a new T'Challa like post Secret Wars, because I think Secret Wars is going to change a lot of shit that's happening in the MCU. But for now, I think this was the right move to pay tribute to this guy who brought such a cultural milestone to the cinematic universe and touched a lot of us. Again, this trailer was stunning. It's beautiful. If you have not watched it and you're living under a rock, go watch this trailer. It is so moving. The more I watch it, like the more emotional I get watching it. It is so beautiful and well done. The music, everything is incredible. And the thing you have to think about is this cast was so close with Chadwick. And now this is like their love letter to him through this movie and Ryan Coogler as well. So I can't say enough about this trailer. It is gorgeous and beautiful. And I can't wait for this movie in November and to see how it closes out phase four. But that's really it for the San Diego Comic-Con news. But I did want to get into a few now watching section before we get into the main topic. So I have been watching the Netflix series Dark per recommendation of my boy Chris at the Geek Peak. It's crazy. It's kind of like a parallel universe time travel kind of thing. It's just now kind of really rolling. Like halfway through season one, it really starts unraveling what's going on. It's a very confusing type of show, but I'm super on board for those kind of shows. So really liking Dark. It's a lot of Netflix am I now watching. Sam and I watched The Gray Man, the latest Russo Brothers movie starring Ryan Gosling, Anna de Armas, and Chris Evans, which we really enjoyed. It was surprisingly funny. The action is wall to wall in this movie. And I love Chris Evans as a dick villain. He's so great as being a douchebag. We saw it in Knives Out, but this movie is it turned up to 11, and I really, really enjoyed it. And seeing Ryan Gosling kind of getting back into the acting game and him being a lead man in this action movie, I know they wanted to start a franchise with this, so I really hope they do make more movies than this, because I'm pretty invested now into the world. It didn't really grab me super emotionally like other Russo Brothers movies have in the MCU, but they had a lot more lore to play with and these characters that we were already introduced to. So I can see it getting there eventually, because I think Joe co-wrote the script to Extraction, starring Chris Hemsworth, which is also a Netflix movie. And that Extraction I would put over this movie, but this movie was really good. It got slammed by critics. It's a 50% critics on Rotten Tomatoes, but the audience score is 90. Like, that's a big gap. You know what I mean? If the critic score was like 70 and the audience score was 90, it'd be like, I can kind of see that. But 50% is ridiculous to me. I can see why people don't like this, but it's a fun turn your brain off popcorn action flick. Like, it's great for that. So if you're looking for something to watch at home, Gray Man's a perfect one. And then I finally finished Hustle, the Adam Sandler basketball movie on Netflix. And that movie was pretty damn good. I really, really, really liked it. Hit me emotionally. I'm a sucker for a sports film, especially a basketball film. There's a few cameos that really took me back to when I watched basketball when I was a kid. So Hustle's a really good movie. I love when Adam Sandler is in serious movies. So check that out if you haven't. It's been out for a while at this point. I think it came out in May. Probably already caught it. I know MASH talked about it on the show a few months ago. If you're looking for stuff on Netflix, The Gray Man and Hustle, both on there. Easy watches. But that's it for this. Let's get into our main topic with AJ from Werewolves and Anthony Ranieri from Bayside. See you in a second.
What's up, everyone? And we're back here with Metalcore Nerds. We're here in the main topic. We're going to talk a little Ms. Marvel, a little Thor, Love, and Thunder. But I brought in two very awesome guests with me. I have AJ from Werewolves. How are you doing, man?
What's up, dude? How are you?
Very good. Very good. It's a nice little Wednesday we're recording today. And then I have Anthony Rainier from Bayside. Thank you for joining the show, man. How are you doing?
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm doing excellent.
Good to hear. Very good to hear. Actually, I had Nick on a few weeks ago. So I guess I'm like collecting you guys like Infinity Stones at this point.
Nice. Yeah, Nick is, he's quite, I'm assuming you had him on for Star Wars.
Yes, good guess.
It's really funny to me how he's become this sort of like renowned Star Wars expert at this point. He like hosts the after parties at Star Wars conventions and like he's the guy. It's kind of crazy. He's like a world renowned Star Wars expert.
Literally, yeah. It's nuts. Good for him, man. That's a good group they have going on over there, and everything they do is really cool. And it was nice to see him. Me and him share a lot of similar views on the way people view pop culture in general, not just Star Wars, but overall. So it was nice to see someone share, because usually I'm mostly very positive on a lot of things, and he seemed to be the same way. So I was like, man, this is nice. This feels nice. Because most of the time, like, you like everything. And I'm like,
yeah, oh. Me and him just had that conversation like 2 weeks ago about fandom. Amazing. About toxic fandom.
Twitter is a dark place. I spend too much time on it. I need to stop. Yes, I wanted to hear from both of you guys. My friends at Hop Geek News call this your origin story. So I want to know how you guys got into Marvel. So AJ, let's see, how'd you get into Marvel or pop culture in general? Like what got you into it?
I'd have to say like my parents, mainly my dad, really just kind of like bestowed comic books and pop culture onto me at like a very young age. I was born like 85. So, you know, I made it right in there on the cusp of awesome cartoons and awesome movies just starting to brew. I know, I saw like Ninja Turtles in theaters. I saw Batman in theaters. Like, we're talking about Keaton and like, I don't know. I've always gravitated toward, maybe it was the colors, maybe it was the heroism. I don't know. I've just always been a big comic book guy and avid toy collector. I have a massive collection of both DC and Marvel figures, as well as like horror. So awesome. I don't know. Like my whole life, it's just been buried into graphic novels and watching superhero films evolve.
Awesome, very cool, Anthony. How about you?
I have a kind of a funny path into Marvel. Is that up until about 2017, I had never seen a Marvel movie.
Oh wow!
I'd never seen any, and my wife is like a big Marvel fan. Had seen all of them up until that point. I was like, you got to watch them. I think it was Spider-Man came out that year. The first Spider-Man came out right around there. And so I went to go see that and I loved it. And we were leaving for a tour with Newfound Glory for like 6 weeks. And I was like, you know what? I am going to watch them all. I'm doing it. So on that tour, I watched every Marvel movie, which there was 19 up until that point. So there was 19 when I first started watching Marvel movies, and I watched them all in my bunk over the course of that tour.
Amazing.
And then I've watched them all every tour since. It's now become like a ritual for me. Every tour I rewatch all the Marvel movies.
Have you gone back at all and watched before Marvel became a studio? Like, you know, Ghost Rider, Blade, like all of those? Like,
no, I haven't. I mean, I think I'm sure I've seen some of them just because they were such huge movie. Like the original Spider-Man movies I saw, and like the X-Men movies I saw, Deadpool, like, you know, the outside of Marvel studio stuff. Some of it I saw, but I definitely haven't done like the research the way I have on the MCU.
You need to do yourself a favor. You need to watch the two Ghost Rider movies, because they are chock full of just disappointment and awesomeness.
Is that Nick Cage?
It sure is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
And I'll tell you, it's prime Nick Cage. It's all the Nick Cage tropes just mashed in together, especially like the transformation scenes. You'll lose your mind.
All right. I'll watch it. I'm in.
Yeah. It's definitely what you would expect a Nick Cage Ghost Rider to be.
Yeah.
It is exactly that.
I'm in.
It hands down delivers.
Yeah, I've been trying to do lately, not just with Marvel movies, but with like any big franchises. I've been trying to rewatch leading up to it, even leading up to Thor. I watched Thor 1-3, and then I watched Infinity War and Endgame, because obviously he plays a very big part in both of those. But I haven't done a full MCU rewatch since before Infinity War. Before Infinity War, which would probably been right around the time you did, very close, because I think Infinity War was 2018. So I watched all of them straight back, and it made me kind of think of, because there's a lot of people, a lot of movies that get really hated on the internet just to be hated on the internet, especially in the MCU. And I feel like Iron Man 3 or like Thor: The Dark World kind of all get the short end of the stick. But like me rewatching them, I was like, I like these movies. For me, for the MCU, I was like, I don't think they've made a legitimate bad movie, like a movie where I'd go, this movie's awful. To me, they haven't yet.
Yeah, well, people do that with bands too, with music.
True.
People hold, like, it's like everything doesn't have to be the best or it sucks. Like,
exactly.
Like Dark World doesn't suck so much as it's just like the least good Thor movie, but that's a, you know, but like that doesn't mean it sucks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that's, and there's like been this whole conversation, and maybe we'll get into this a little later on too, of how Phase 4, some people are saying like the quality is dipping in Phase 4, and I'm like, I don't think any of these movies are like worse than most of the other movies that people just like generally liked but didn't love, like the Ant-Man movies or even Thor: The Dark World or stuff like that. It's like, I don't feel like they've gone below that. I don't know. They've taken more chances this phase with different, more going more genre based or letting directors really take reins and kind of things, like we've seen with the last two MCU movies. They're two. Doctor Strange was a Sam Raimi movie, like 100%. And this movie was a Taika Waititi movie. Like
it's a great Evil Dead film.
Even Shang-Chi was like a Kung Fu movie. It was like unlike any other Marvel movie, totally fresh take on a superhero movie.
It was a Kung Fu fantasy movie that just had the Marvel Studios logo for it, basically.
Yeah, I agree.
I had zero expectations on Shang-Chi because I never really got into the comics as a kid, and I ended up falling in love with that movie. I thought it was great. I've watched it like several times since.
Yeah.
It's a really fun watch, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The action set pieces are insane. Simu Liu is just like a star, and I love that Marvel has kind of made these mostly unknown people. He has a Netflix show called Kim's Convenience that people rave about that I still haven't watched, but after watching Shang-Chi, I was like, I need to watch this show. I was like, this dude is awesome. He's so great. And they've done that, like, people forget about this, but Tom Hiddleston and Chris Hemsworth were unknowns until they were in Thor. Like, Thor made them. Thor and like into the Avengers and everything like that, but people forget. They're like, oh yeah, Chris Hemsworth. Everyone knows Chris Hemsworth, but not 10 years
ago. Yeah, I mean, people are comparing it at this point to late stage, like Infinity Wars, you know? Like,
yeah,
that's what people are comparing. And it was like, that's the payoff of like,
exactly,
years and years and years of setup. And now we're restarting and we're setting up again. Not only are we setting up, but like so many of these Phase 4 movies and shows have been origin stories, which like, we forget, like, don't hold it up against like Civil War, hold it up against the first Avenger, or hold it up against the first Hulk, or you know what I mean? Like, there's only, you know, or even like the first, which I loved all those movies, but even the first Doctor Strange, you know what I mean? Like, they're, as those characters progress and as the Infinity Wars like progressed, there's a lot more meat on the bone, you know?
Yeah, that's what I've been telling a lot of people too, is that what they're doing more now, even more so than they did in Phase 1, is that they're spending more time with character. It's a lot more character than action, which some people haven't liked, which is fine. I love character stuff. I love that we're getting to know these either lesser known characters or these newer characters, because when we get to a point like the next Infinity War Endgame, when we have these massive deaths that are going to eventually happen, they're going to hit even harder because we know these characters more. We're spending
more time. We still don't really even know. We don't even know what the overarching concept is for the next several phases, you know, like there we have theories, you know.
Yeah,
we have
it's probably Secret Wars, but even that, like, if you compare Infinity Gauntlet comics to Infinity War and Endgame, they're not the same. They're going to change everything's. It's the basis of Secret Wars is that there's a multiversal war with universes colliding in each other, which that would make sense to happen, but even that, like, that needs to be the next Endgame in like close to like 10 years from now. Like, it can't be 5 years from now. It can't. It wouldn't make it would be way too much. That would be killing the multiverse in like a snap. I know some people have been like, I'm sick of the multiverse, but there's been like four things that involved multiverse at this point. And one of it,
just dipped our toe into it.
Yeah.
There's so many characters now, though. That is the one thing I'll say about Phase 4 is that they're really introducing, they're introducing new characters at such a pace where I'm like, okay, when this all eventually needs to like cross over and they need to start like knowing each other, like that's gonna be tough. There's like so many of them at this point, you know.
Yeah, you're not wrong. There is a lot. That's like the one thing where people are like, I'm kind of getting burning out on the shows and stuff, and I'm like, I can get that because there's so much coming out. I'm fine with it because I just love Marvel, and like I said, none of it has been like this sucks. Some of the shows have been some of my favorite stuff Marvel's done, period. So if they're still doing stuff like that, then I'm like, give it to me.
Oh, bring it on. Yeah. You know? I want all the content. I want all the content. I'll watch it all. But I'm more curious as far from a storytelling perspective, how they're going to weave all these people's stories together. Yeah. You know,
I think it's going to be the era of teams that we're going to get into. We'll have like
they'll probably have to be multiple different teams.
A new Avengers team, a young Avengers team, maybe a West Coast Avengers team, you know.
If you look back at the other Avengers films and stuff like that, it wasn't like, you know, one movie and then everybody meets and then all of a sudden we go right into Endgame. No, there was setup throughout that whole time. Yeah. You know, we had like what? We had basically 2.5 Avenger films if you count like Captain America Civil War. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So 2.5 chances for all these people's lives to intersect together, not to mention like crossover films in between.
Yep.
So, you know, if they say like they've got this map drawn out where they want to connect everything to Secret Wars, if that is, which it's going to be because it's a huge setup for it. But if they do want to end on, you know, a 3-part or 2-part Secret Wars, There's got to be at least 2 Avengers films in between to intersect and pull things together. If not, even like a crossover TV show to combine everybody, because they haven't done that yet, like an Avengers TV series.
Yeah, there needs to be a lot more of the people
that,
like
that
like
sounds expensive. That would be expensive.
They're not
that cast together for long enough to film a show. That would be
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, 6 episodes really just gets cut down into a 3-hour movie.
Yeah, it's true.
Speaking of series, Ms. Marvel just wrapped up, and one of the biggest reveals of the show, other than the show being incredibly charming, heartfelt, this nice coming of age story that was a refreshing source of culture. You learn about the partition in it, and it was a great look into the Muslim culture, the lens of like a Pakistani American teenager trying to find her way of making her own kind of story. But at the very end,
I think we might have had it wrong the first time around.
What do you mean?
So we know why you have access to the Nora and how you can wield it, but when I compared you to the rest of your family, something still seemed off.
Okay.
Kamala, there's something different in your genes. Like a mutation.
So we have mutants now.
Yes, confirmed in the 616 universe. Obviously, we got Patrick Stewart in Multiverse of Madness. He's of course a mutant. We know they also played the X-Men theme when he came out with that, which was really cool. A lot of people are kind of upset about this because Kamala Khan is an Inhuman in the comics. But what we did learn is that the co-creator of Ms. Marvel wanted to make Kamala Khan originally a mutant in the comics, but they wouldn't let her because that's when Fox had the rights to the X-Men, and that's when they were pushing the Inhumans because they didn't want to like push a property that they didn't have movie rights to. Mm-hmm. So the Inhumans kind of became their X-Men, which they are very similar but different. I totally get it. The Inhumans are cool, but X-Men and the mutants are way cooler.
That's interesting because I was wondering how they were going to introduce the X-Men eventually.
Yeah.
And I'm always interested to see when they bring up new characters post Endgame, post all, you know, everything, all the events that we've already seen.
Yeah.
There's going to have to be explanations for where they've been for the last like 2 decades, right? Like there's going to have to be. And so far they're doing an all right job with it. You know what I mean? Like I thought the Eternals kind of like, we don't meddle in human affairs was like, that was sufficient for me.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
I thought that seeing Patrick Stewart in Doctor Strange was going to be like, okay, that's how they get the X-Men in. It's like they're from another dimension. That that makes sense. But to hear that now they're putting mutants in 616 is weird, because now you're going to have to explain that. Like, where, like, why are we only just finding that out now? How is that even possible?
Yeah, there's been a big theory that one of the crazy events kind of unlocked this genetic mutation, because she finds this old artifact that belonged to her grandmother that she puts on, and it pretty much activates her powers. And in a lot of X-Men comics, they kind of just go through puberty, and it kind of just, their X gene mutation starts showing and stuff like that. We even saw in like WandaVision with Wanda and Pietro that the minds, because they could still be retroactively called mutants as well, that because they use the Mind Stone to kind of unlock it. There was this book called The Wakanda Files that came out that had just like a bunch of info, and they said that they had something like, they had like a genetic disposition that they like used to unlock something, which they could easily tie back to be like, Wanda's a mutant, her brother was a mutant who's dead now, so who cares? So they could do stuff like that. But like you said, it is very hard with people like Professor Xavier, with Magneto, who has obviously like major ties to the Holocaust and shit like that. Like, how do they explain where they've been this whole time, unless they're in hiding, or I don't know. I'm sure they'll describe it in a way where I'm like, okay, that's fine. There was a big theory that like maybe the snap unlocked the X gene, or maybe something to do with what happened in the Eternals with TMS.
I'm still waiting to find out like what kind of, I can't believe that they haven't mentioned yet like what happens at the end of the Eternals, like in any of the, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
this massive, that's like such a massive, put yourself there, you know, like that's such a massive happening, that this like celestial like appears in the sky and this booming voice, his voice is just booming down to Earth, sending threats down, you know, this thing that's bigger than a planet. And like, also there's like this celestial that's like dead or frozen or half
in the ocean
born, just in the ocean somewhere, and nobody has mentioned that, like that happened, you know what I mean? Like,
you know what the easiest cheat for them is? They always try to go like, oh, on the timeline, that didn't happen when these other two things were going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Right,
there's always
a
cheat around that. Like, they're really smart with how they set it up. Like you were saying, you guys have got both gone back through and watched all the films, but when you watch them in chronological order, which I haven't, but if you were to watch them in chronological order, I'm sure that the landscape of where they came out versus where they are in the story arc is vastly different.
Right. Yeah. I think another good explanation I always try to say, and it's more of a joke than anything, but they're like, yeah, how come no one has brought that up? And I'm like, dude, that's just like a Tuesday in the MCU. I was like, they have, you know, tentacle monsters attacking New York, big alien invasions. Your significant other could have disappeared for 5 years and then came back and you were married to someone else. I was like, they've been through some shit. You know, so I was like, oh, yeah, big, crazy monster in the sky. It's Tuesday. Of course it happened.
Yeah. I've just been surprised that hasn't been mentioned yet. But you're probably right. It probably hasn't happened in the timeline yet.
I've been kind of waiting for someone to be like, oh, yeah, I remember that time this crazy face appeared in the sky in Europe and kidnapped someone.
It's kind of like the people, and you know, this isn't Marvel, but it's DC, but it's kind of like being a citizen in Gotham and being like, you know, phased by a new costumed villain. You're just kind of like,
it's normal.
It's normal. We got
poisoned by this crazy machine that dispersed gas through the whole city. It's Wednesday.
Yeah.
another day in Gotham, you know?
Oh, cool. A guy dressed as a firefly. Fantastic. Let's go.
So AJ, what did you, do you have any other thoughts about Ms. Marvel, about the reveal or just the series in general?
I just, you know, I look at it this way. I'm really happy that they're starting to kind of introduce the notion of mutants. Like, I'm waiting to see what Marvel Studios is going to do with X-Men, because there's one thing that Marvel is really fantastic about. It's casting, and it's also costume work. And we've yet to see, like, authentic looking. Because, like, I'm a kid who grew up on, like, the animated series of X-Men, which is, writing-wise, I've gone back and watched it. It's fantastic. It still holds up, great stories, and it's one of those things, like, I want to see that iteration of the X-Men or some form of that 90s nostalgic throwback costume era. Like, I want a Wolverine with a mask, you know? yet to see that. They teased it in the Wolverine where he opens up in one of the deleted scenes. He opens up a case and the mask is there, and it's just such a like just throw a mask onto whatever Hollywood stud you get to play Wolverine next. That's all I'm asking. But now, as far as that goes, like I know they've got a plan. I know we're all in a rush to see like X-Men, Fantastic Four come in, but at the same time, if they don't do it right, we're gonna annihilate it online. So
yeah, I want to see it all play out the like
the
right way,
really well.
But they're letting you know, hey, these things are coming. We got it. Soon enough, you'll know.
So Thor: Love and Thunder,
the only ones who gods care about is themselves. So this is my vow. All gods will die.
AJ hasn't seen this, so Anthony and I are going to sell him on going to see this movie. So a little bit of, I think we'll try. We'll try.
So
we'll
you guys are pro Thor: Love and Thunder, then?
Oh, I loved it so much. I've already seen it twice. I'm going to see it for a third time.
Then awesome. This is where I want to be right now. I want to hear some.
I don't know. I can only speak for myself.
I am very much on that train as well. So a little bit info on the movie. The log line of Thor: Love and Thunder is Thor finds himself on a journey facing anything like he's never faced before, a quest for inner peace. But his retirement is interrupted by a galactic killer known as Gorr the God Butcher, who seeks the extinction of gods. To combat this threat, Thor enlists the help of King Valkyrie, Korg, and ex-girlfriend Jane Foster, to who Thor, surprise, inexplicably wields his magical hammer Mjolnir as the mighty Thor. Together they embark on a harrowing cosmic adventure to uncover the mystery of God Butcher's vengeance and stop him before it's too late. A little bit numbers on this movie. This movie is already past the $500 million mark worldwide and has been the number one movie two weekends in a row. It did take a 67.7 dip from the first weekend, but most MCU movies average at least a 58% drop in their second weekend because their openings are so much bigger than most other movies. A lot of people tried to paint it, this movie's a failure. And I was like, it made its production budget back in the first weekend. So I don't think any movie that does that would be considered a failure. People tried to do the same thing about Doctor Strange. The movie made almost $1 billion without Russia or China release, which is insane. Insane. So people painting this as box office failures, that's just wrong. You cannot like the movie. That's fine. But it's doing very well monetarily. Pretty simple.
I can't imagine what people don't like about it. I just don't know. Because I feel like everybody loves Ragnarok, right? Like everybody pretty much agrees with that turn that Thor took, like the comedic turn. So this is just like the next Ragnarok. It's like it.
I'm with you.
It was just like that. If you like Ragnarok, I don't see why people don't, what the problem people have with it.
I think the problem that I've been hearing lately, and like, because I work in a barber shop, and
okay,
well, I'm a barber, so obviously, if you didn't guess that, by from what I've heard, everybody like kind of just talking back and forth, which that's like the major spoiler zone, is if you're in a barber shop and you haven't gone to see something within the first 2 weeks, you're done. Like everybody, the veil's in here. So what I've heard is like people are just bummed out that they turned it into kind of like a romantic comedy.
It is a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what is that? Who cares? Like, is it good? Like, nobody will give me the answer whether or not it's good. They will.
I think it's cool that it's a romantic comedy in that, like what we were saying before about how the new Doctor Strange is like a standalone, like this is a Sam Raimi movie. And Shang-Chi is like a kung fu version of a Marvel movie. Like this is Marvel's rom-com. So what?
Yeah.
You know, like it's a different kind of Marvel movie.
I mean, like I figured it would be that when they brought back Natalie Portman. I was like, they're not just introducing her just to have like another Thor variant, you know, or to kind of do the thing from the comic book.
But you know what's great though is that the whole bit they do with like with Stormbreaker being like jealous, that whole bit going throughout the whole movie, like is making fun of itself. It's like the movie's not taking itself seriously. It's making fun of the romantic comediness of the movie. Like
And that's Taika's humor.
That's the only reason I can see people not liking it is if you don't like Taika's humor, I guess. But if you liked Ragnarok, I find it weird. Like you said, people like Ragnarok and they're like, I didn't really like this movie. I feel like it was a lot of people said it was like too funny. And I'm like, did you watch like the second half of the movie? Because it gets real serious real fast.
Yeah.
So
what were they expecting from the guy who made Jojo Rabbit?
I mean, that same movie, same thing. It goes really funny, super campy to holy shit just got real very fast.
Like the fact that it's considered campy is like the villain is a guy whose god, he suffered for his god and his god let him down. So he killed him and yep. vowed to kill all other gods. Like, that is probably the heaviest, like, theme that we've ever had in a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not campy at all. That's real heavy.
Not to mention that Jane Foster is battling cancer, and the only reason that she finds this power with Mjolnir is that Thor, when they were dating, said, make sure you protect her. And mm-hmm. that's why she's worthy. Because Thor goes, make sure you look after her.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that until the second watch.
Yeah.
That it's like buried in in a flashback where yep. he says, like, protect her.
Yeah. And it's so beautiful. And personally, myself, my wife and I, her mom battled with cancer and we lost her a few years back. So this storyline just like hit me like a brick fucking wall. You know, so it's like me telling people that, like, even my friend was like, I liked it. He's like, I didn't love it. And I was like, I don't know if this storyline just hit with me better than other people, which is understandable because I have like a personal attachment to it. But I just thought it was a beautiful journey for Thor in general. And I think a lot of people are looking over what Chris Hemsworth did in this movie. He goes from like slapstick humor funny to like such like the speech he has with Jane in the hospital. Is beautiful and so well done. She they're on a hospital bed, and pretty much every time she turns into Thor, just like in the comics, it undoes any of the chemo she does. So it's making her more sick. So she's in the hospital after one of the fights with Gore, and Thor gets him out of there. And there she's in the hospital bed, and she's basically like, I need to go help you end this. And he's like, no, I would love to have you in the battlefield with me. But what I care more about is spending my life with you because I love you. She's just kind of like, yeah, I get it. And that's the whole movie is about him opening himself back up to people and accepting love. And that's like his whole journey has been him battling himself. Like Thor 1 is like he became mortal and he's figuring out what to be mortal. Thor 2, he's battling with whether he wants to be a king or not. Thor 3, he literally loses everything. He loses his dad. He loses his best friends. He loses his home. And then again in Infinity War, he loses his brother. He loses Heimdall. It's like all this thing of loss. And then we see an endgame, like him go through this utter depression of failure and just completely losing everything, losing to Thanos, all of that. We see him go into this deep, dark depression. And we have that amazing conversation with him and his mom when they go back in time to get the Reality Stone.
Idiot now. A failure. Absolutely.
It's a little bit harsh.
Would you know what that makes you? Just like everyone else.
I'm not supposed to be like everyone else, am I?
Everyone fails at who they're supposed to be, Thor. The measure of a person, of a hero, is how well they succeed at being who they are.
And this movie was the result of that. Him finally finding out who he is. And him finding love, which becomes very literal because he ends up becoming the father of a character named Love, making the title Thor Love and Thunder very literal. But it was beautiful. It was such a nice journey for him. And like people are like, oh, they made Thor stupid. And I'm like, did you not miss him being like, oh, he went to the Shadow Realm. We need to go up on Nepotid City. He's like laying down all this knowledge that like we would never know. And Thor's always kind of done that. He did that with Jane in the first movie and in the second movie, of him talking about like he has all this knowledge of realms and gods and magic and all the shit that mm-hmm. normal people don't. And I'm like, he's not dumb. He was just depressed and he was masking his depression with humor.
Yeah,
which, guess what? All of us do that.
These are all the same people who like praised Fat Thor. You know what I mean? It's like pick and choose your battles. Like what this guy can have, an emotional journey where he grows as a human being, but we can all poke fun and laugh at him at his like his biggest downfall.
Right? Yeah.
It's also Thor. Like we're not talking about Doctor Strange or something like that. Like or you know what I mean? Or Bruce Banner. Like it's Thor. Like is Thor supposed to be smart?
Well, here's the other thing that like the other side of the coin that I've heard a lot about with like Thor and why people have this kind of issue. It's like the Thor in the comics isn't the same as the Thor we're getting on the screen, because, you know, in the comic books, he's more of like a serious character who once in a great blue moon will have like a funny one-liner. And then, but it's you buy the character and you fall in love with the character because of Chris Hemsworth's like comic timing and personality. And he puts a lot of his self into that character. It's like why we love seeing Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool. Right. The reason that people are talking so much trash about this film are the same people who are going to see it a couple different times to analyze why they hate it. But you're you like it because you're going because you love this character so much. So just get it.
You know, it's no sillier than the Guardians of the Galaxy movies, which everybody loves. You know what I mean? Everybody pretty universally loves those. So like, what? It's not that, like, these movies can be funny. Guardians of the Galaxy movies are hilarious. Total comedies.
The one thing I thought this movie did better than Ragnarok was let the emotional moments, you sit with the emotional moments. They weren't undercut by a joke like they are in Ragnarok. That's like my only problem with Ragnarok.
I would argue that this is less goofy than Ragnarok, which is like it's more serious and heavier than Ragnarok, which is makes it that much weirder that people's problem with this is that it's like campy and too funny.
Yeah. I mean, there's even moments at the end when Asgard's getting destroyed, like Korg is making a joke while it's getting destroyed and then after it's getting destroyed. Like he never his best friends are so overlooked, the Warriors Three getting killed in Ragnarok, that they make a joke about it in this movie. They literally make a joke about it. They're like, oh yeah, those guys died too. It's like, you know, it's crazy. He even has a tattoo, which you see in the trailer, and it's like a list of people in memory. He has his mom, he has his dad, he has Heimdall, he has Loki, and he has Natasha and Tony. Not even his best friends are there.
I also really love the development of New Asgard in general. Like, I love all like everything that New Asgard has become and the people who live there have become. I love it. It's such a good place to have taken it.
I gotta say, that play with the return of like Matt Damon and his brother playing Thor and Sam Neill. And I'm not even going to say who Hela was in this. I'll let that be a surprise for you, AJ, but they pretty much do what they did in Ragnarok, where they did a reenactment of a moment in Dark World in Ragnarok. They do a reenactment of a moment in Ragnarok in this movie. And I was dying laughing, like losing my mind laughing.
Yeah. It's really great.
It's really, really good stuff. And
Mr. McCarthy.
Yes, it is.
That got ruined. Don't, like I told you, it's been 2 weeks. It's been ruined.
Did you know about about the end, about love and all that? Did you know about that?
That I didn't, but at the same time, I've always been one of those guys that, like, if it's the first week and it's something I really like, I need to go rush out and go see, like, I will freak out on people. But if I've let 2 weeks go by, I'm kind of one of those people that, like, if it's going to get spoiled, it gets spoiled, but it's not going to ruin the movie for me, because for me, like, it's the enjoyment of actually watching it, even if I know everything that's going to happen.
That's fair.
I absolutely love the idea of Thor and love, like, going around and like saving the world and going on adventures together. I love it. But introducing kid characters into these movies is like a dangerous thing. You know what I mean? Because these storylines go on for decades. You know what I mean? And that kid's look completely that kid? Different. Yeah. You know, it's his daughter.
His daughter. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet. We haven't talked about Gore at all. So Christian Bale played Gore, the God Butcher. And my only complaint is I kind of wish I had a little more, but even if I got more, I feel like I still would have felt that way regardless, because this dude is just, he came to play, which as Christian Bale does, but his backstory makes sense of, like Anthony describing earlier, of why he hates the gods so much. And just every scene he was in, he was so creepy and like maniacal.
Yeah. You know, I was on the fence, really. It kind of started with Eternals, and now it's happening just much more, where they're starting to put like A-list talent in the movies. And I was a little worried about that, about like being able, because, like, Chris Evans is Captain America. That's it. That's just who, you know what I mean? Chris Hemsworth is Thor. That's who he is. You know, you don't have to suspend disbelief at all to engulf yourself in the universe. But starting with Eternals and now like more and more, like there's these people where it's like, okay, it's going to be hard to like read Salma Hayek as anybody but like Salma Hayek, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Or like Angelina Jolie, like, okay, that's Angelina Jolie though.
I thought she did a great job in that movie personally.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
But there's so much more of that coming. You know what I mean? Like we're seeing it in all like the mid-credit scenes and stuff now. You know, we were talking earlier about how many characters they're introducing, you know, like there's all these new movies and new shows that are introducing more and more characters, but and that's not even including like the people who are being introduced in like mid-credit and end credit scenes where you're like, wow, yeah. Like there's that much more. Like, is Harry Styles really gonna be here soon? You know, there's so many.
Yeah, and speaking of post-credit scenes, this post-credit scene was a very large one, I think, especially for people who are fans of Ted Lasso, because it was revealed that Brett Goldstein, also known as Roy fucking Kent, is playing Hercules, Zeus's son, which I was losing my mind. I'm a big Ted Lasso fan. If anyone is listening to the podcast, I have praised Ted Lasso, but seeing him be Hercules, and he looks pretty fucking great as Hercules, I was stoked.
Everything about Omnipotent City, I loved everything about that. There were so many cool Easter eggs with all the gods all over, but Zeus's accent is my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah,
that's the best part of the movie. That's really the funniest part of the movie.
Really hated Russell Crowe as Zeus, and I thought he was perfect. Like, do you guys remember that Zeus was just like a piece of shit god that just wanted to fuck everything? Like, that's what Zeus was, and they portrayed him just like that in the movie. And I was like, this is great. I was like, what did you want? I was like, and that the whole point of it is to make him an unlikable god, to make it show that these gods don't give a fuck about anything other than themselves. That was the whole point of this movie.
Oh my god, the accent too, the Greek, like that they had him sound like he owns like a philosopher, you know, like.
Yeah, that's dead on.
Because he's a Greek god, right? He's a Greek god, but they made him sound like a Greek store owner. You know, like it's so good. He sounds like My Big Fat Greek Wedding. He sounds like a character in that, you know? Not like a Greek god. Not what you would think a god would sound like.
In the movie, it's seemingly that Thor kills him with his own thunder, like lightning bolt. And then the end credits scene shows that he's alive and he's going to send Hercules after him to get vengeance for disrespecting his, you know, being the god of all gods, which another thing is great. It's like, oh, I was wronged for, you know, trying to get to do the right thing, because they all go to Omnipotent City to get backup, to build an army to fight Gore. And they're all like, no, we're going to have a fucking orgy. Fuck off, basically. And, you know, he seemingly kills him, but then it's revealed that he wasn't killed, and that, you know, he's gonna send Hercules after him. And I'm stoked to see Brett Goldstein and Chris Hemsworth interact with each other, because I think that's gonna be utterly hilarious.
Yeah, and this god battle is pretty exciting to think about also. Like Thor going up against Zeus and Hercules is pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's and they just keep introducing more different gods, like we saw in Moon Knight with Khonshu and all those other Egyptian gods, and even kind of like in Eternals, you do see two Celestials in Omnipotent City just in passing. Mm-hmm. But still, it was cool to see them. You see another one in, there's this where they find the key to eternity that's opened by the Bifrost. There's all these statues, and one was a Celestial as well. They also had the Watcher, Death, Affinity, which Infinity is like the sister of Eternity. It's cool. They're like building out all these crazy cosmic corners of Marvel that are super wacky and weird and just wild. And I think they're only going farther, especially like in Guardians. We're going to see probably the High Evolutionary and definitely Adam Warlock. And it's only going to get crazier from here. So if you're not into this weird, wacky cosmic stuff now, I don't think you're going to be with the rate they're going, because it's only going to get weirder.
So here's something it seemed like you guys were saying, like with the Secret Wars thing, it seems like this multiversal battle and what we who's the big bad, you know, like it seems like it's Kang, right? Like that's the idea.
Yeah.
I don't think they've mentioned him since Loki, have they? Has it come up again? Not so that's interesting. Like, it's kind of interesting.
That's I'm telling you, man. Like, there's so much stuff that they're hinting to right now that I think Kang is just simply a decoy, and it'll probably get hashed out within the first or second new Avengers film, because they'll end up like intersecting all these worlds together. But, or to be honest with you, it'll be kind of like maybe a situation in what was it, the first Avengers? Remember how like the real big bad is. They're building toward Thanos, but like you got Loki as like your first main bad, and then you end up with, so you got all these different variants of Kang. So he'll keep.
Yeah, you kind of like, I guess it's Ronin, right? It's Ronin for a while, and then we come to find out that Ronin is really just like a henchman for Thanos.
The only logical point for them to go and to be able to take a level up on Thanos would be to go Galactus. You have to go Galactus, especially if we're setting up all this cosmic stuff. You know, we got the Fantastic Four around the corner. You got, obviously,
Doctor Doom is supposed to be coming. That's, you know, I don't think Doctor Doom is going to be like a one and done character. You know, like that's not going to, he's not just going to be the villain of the Fantastic Four movie and then be gone, you know.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I can see it being Kang and then completely changing Secret Wars, and they end up fighting all these different variants of Kang, and then eventually it's the Council of Kangs or something like that, where there's like a million Kangs that all, it's like the Council of Ricks and Rick and Morty. I can see it ending with him and then leaving Doom for even later on stuff, because I do think Doom will end up playing a big factor, obviously, coming up. But he's such an interesting character that, like you said, he can't be a one and done guy. Like he's gotta be around for a while, like a Loki or something like that. He's really got to be a main part. But I can see them being Kang being the big bad of this, the multiversal saga, seemingly, because they already set it up. You know, He Who Remains is the one who ended the multiversal war, who He Remains is a variant of Kang himself. So I could see that him being the big bad of it all, but then still leaving for Doom, because basically Secret Wars ends with one universe intact, and it's basically like a big restart. Like, a ton of people fucking die. Like, it's crazy. The second post-credits scene, we see Jane Foster go to Valhalla, and she is greeted by Heimdall himself, which I thought was a really touching, moving, nice cap to the story of Natalie Portman. But it does leave it open, because in the comics, Odin makes her a Valkyrie, and Valkyries basically are the people who help people to Valhalla. Like, help their souls make it to Valhalla. So it'd be kind of cool if she comes back as a Valkyrie. But one person that is probably in Valhalla that I've been thinking about this whole time is probably Loki. Loki's probably there too. And one of my friends like, oh, they should have showed him right there with Heimdall. And I was like, no. I was like, they have to save that moment. Because when we see this new Loki see Thor, it's going to be like crushing. It's going to be so
I don't
crushing.
Think Loki is in Valhalla. Because really? anybody that's gone to Valhalla that we know for a fact went to Valhalla broke up into gold dust. And he didn't.
Oh, you're right. Well, we didn't see Heimdall do that either.
Did we not?
Because that ship just blows up.
That's true.
That was a good point. I'm hoping that he's there, because he went out as a good guy, in my opinion. But I am waiting, because a lot of people are like, oh, we're going to see this new Loki in Thor Love and Thunder. I'm like, why is everyone so rushing to this shit? You got to let that wait. That's like Cap moving Mjolnir slightly in Avengers Ultron and then wielding an Endgame. Like, it's got to be a payoff, like a year's worth of payoff. Because once we see that, you know, Thor is going to be like losing his mind. He's going to be like, Loki, what? And then like, Loki's going to have to explain that he's not really the same Loki, but he kind of is. And I just think it's going to be heartbreaking when that, because I think that's eventually going to happen. And I think it's going to break our damn hearts. And I'm here for it. I love when Marvel crushes me. So, and that's kind of been a lot of phase four, is just, you know, grief and depression and emotion, which I'm here for it too.
Yeah. Well, Marvel has said like that phase four is about all these characters dealing with the aftermath of the snap.
Right. Which makes sense too, because like a massive thing happened. Of course they would be dealing with the ramifications of that. It's monumental. Half of all life didn't exist for 5 years.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of like characters trying to figure out who they are.
Yeah.
There's like, that's Doctor Strange. That was the last Spider-Man. That is
Hawkeye.
That is Thor. It's all like everything has been about like characters trying to figure out who they
Sam
are.
Sam Wilson, Bucky, them too. But it's good stuff. Like I said, it makes you care about these characters more than you probably did prior to these shows. Like, even if these shows have flaws or there's some parts you didn't like about them, I'm sure there are some parts you did. That's the good thing about shows. You don't have to, like we said, not everything has to be the biggest thing, best thing ever. Like, there can be these things that are just good and are just fine. It's like, the stuff is made for us to be entertained. If you want to be hypercritical of stuff, I guess you can, but it's like, why? Like, why be? I don't know. It's so weird to me.
Yeah, I even like the Eternals.
I like Eternals too. I didn't love it, but I thought it was really fucking cool. I'm excited to see a sequel.
I think it's an origin story. Those are badass characters that we're gonna get to see do stuff now. That's a whole bunch of really cool characters.
Yeah, and the whole Dane Whitman stuff set up with Blade, like, come on, let's go. Like, I'm stoked for that stuff. And, like, even Moon Knight was such a step into the right direction of, like, the supernatural world of Marvel that we're only going to get more of.
Way to move toward Midnight Suns, man.
It'll happen. I think it's happening.
There's no way it's not. They're definitely starting to go toward that, too. But it's exciting. We're getting all these properties we've wanted since we were children. And it's finally going to come together where they're putting real money into it. Again, like I said, go back and watch Ghost Rider, and it'll make you appreciate everything that's going on. Like, the worst MCU film is still better than the best pre-MCU movies.
Most of them. Some of them are really good.
Fantastic.
Spider-Man 2 is really good, okay?
Yeah, all right. I'll give you Spider-Man, I'll give you a handful of the X-Men. There's only a small handful of good.
As long as they keep Venom far away from me, I'll be fine.
They did the best thing they could ever, and leave that little piece of symbiote when they sent him back to the Sonyverse.
Out.
Because I like Tom Hardy as Venom. I did not like Venom: Let There Be Carnage. I thought that movie was an absolute waste of so many things. But I could never have seen Tom Hardy and Tom Holland interact with each other. Like, that would have not made sense to me. Like, that would not have worked.
Yeah, I can't.
Like I said, I like Tom Hardy as Venom, but I wouldn't have seen that vibing very well together. I'm just hoping this incursion thing eventually just takes out the Sony universe. See you later, guys.
We can only hope so.
But before we get out of here, Anthony, is there anything going on in the Bayside world you want to plug?
We just have some festival dates for the rest of the year, which is cool. We got like most of the rest of the year off. We're going to go into the studio and record a few songs.
Nice.
We're kind of just releasing like songs as we write them right now. Kind of not going to do a record for the moment. We recorded three songs at the beginning of the year, and we're just kind of releasing them one at a time. And then this October, we're going in to record like three more, and we'll release those little by little.
Oh.
But festivals for the rest of the year. And then we'll go back out. I think in February, we go back out.
Cool. Yeah. I actually just caught you guys in Worcester like a month or two ago.
Oh, cool. That was fun. Yeah. That was the first time we did the outdoors at the Palladium. That was a really cool show.
A lot of bands I haven't seen, a lot of bands I've seen a lot of times. So it was a cool combo. I've never seen the movie Life. I've only seen I'm the Avalanche. So that was nice. That was nice for me to see.
We played the movie Life's last show when they broke up originally.
Oh my God.
At the Palladium. And
holy shit.
And nobody knew it was going to be their last show. It wasn't like a big advertised thing. We did a festival at the Palladium, and they had, I guess, got into like their last straw fight, like in the parking lot. And they came on stage and they said, "This is our last show."
Wow.
And I was like, "What?" And then they played. Yeah. So that we played their last show also at the Palladium. It's pretty
wow.
funny.
Wow. AJ, do you have anything that Weird Wolves got going on in the recent future?
We have a cover coming out next month. We did today's his birthday, so it's crazy to say that. But we did a Linkin Park cover that we have coming out.
Awesome.
Did One Step Closer. So hopefully that's going to drop next month.
Cool.
We're about eight songs deep into a new album. Once we get that complete, we're going to start, we're going to do like an in-between EP. So we've got that booked out for September to start tracking that. So we're going to have a lot of music coming out over the next year and a half. So cool. I'm really excited about this whole process. It's an exciting time. I'm actually going out to LA next week to do a couple meetings and
nice.
hang out with some friends. Nothing really, just like look out for that cover and
cool.
A lot of cool stuff on the way.
Cool, that's exciting.
Hell yeah. Yeah, Anthony, it was an honor having you on. AJ, it was an honor having you on as well. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk some nerd stuff with me. It was a blast, honestly.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Make sure you follow Bayside, see what they're doing. They'll be playing some fest touring, and then make sure you're on the lookout for some new Weird Wolves music. And if you want to follow me or the podcast, just go to metalcorners.com, where you can find all of our links, our merch, everything right there. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. And if you want to follow my personal stuff, it's just Instagram and Twitter @SeanXMott. And until next time, see you later, nerds.